Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. This is Wednesday, November the 9th, 2016, the day after the election. Holy mackerel, after 15 months of this stuff going on and on and on the local and national level, it is now all come to the end and the results are in, and I am tired, and I'm sure a lot of you are as well. The acceptance speech by Donald Trump, who will be our next president, did not come till 3 a.m. last night, and Hillary Clinton just delivered her concession speech. If you did not hear the concession speech, a few words out of this. Last night I congratulated Donald Trump and offered to work with him on behalf of our country. I hope that he will be a successful president for all Americans. This is not the outcome that we wanted, and I'm sorry that we did not win this election. This is painful, and it will be for a long time. The loss hurts, but please never stop believing that fighting for what's right is worth it, she said. She also addressed her female supporters who had hoped that she would make history by being elected the first female president. To all of the women, and especially the young woman, who put their faith in this campaign and in me, I want you to know that nothing has made me prouder than to be your champion. Now I know we still have not shattered the highest and hardest glass ceiling, but someday someone will, she said. And that those are the words of Hillary Clinton just moments ago. It's interesting. Hillary Clinton did win the popular vote last night, by the way. She did win more votes in the country, but lost the Electoral College. There are still some states out there, which some news sources are calling, some news sources are not. But certainly congratulations are in order to President-elect Donald Trump, who will now meet with President Barack Obama on Thursday. Locally, my goodness, well, I hope you listened to the election coverage here last night. We plan to go on until from 7:15 to 9 p.m. last night with one of the largest turnouts of voters in Marion County history. We didn't get off the air till almost 10:30 last night, but the races were very interesting and good for the incumbents, as only one incumbent was defeated last night. A good night for Republicans, as here in Marion County, Republican prosecutor Brent Yeager was reelected by a large margin, over 50% of the vote. Andy Apfelfeller, a Republican commissioner, was reelected to office with over 67% of the vote, defeating Lynn Thomas. Brent Yeager defeated City Law Director Mark Russell and Independent Tom Edwards. The Independent candidate, Tom Edwards, snagging 4,096 votes. Clerk of Courts race, Julie Cagle, the Republican, held on to that with just over 50% of the vote, 13,028 votes, beating the Democrat Chris Kasotis, who had 7,196, and Tom Stotts, the Independent, 4,265. When it came to the other commissioner race, this was the only incumbent who did not get reelected in Marion County last night. That was Dan Russell. Dan Russell was defeated by Republican Kerr Murray. Kerr Murray, 14,060 votes, defeating the incumbent Dan Russell, who had 10,166 votes. And what people were calling the most contested race in Marion County, sheriff, the Democrat did win. The Democrat incumbent held his office with what looks to be over 50% of the vote. Sheriff Bailey was returned to office, 12,850 votes, one of the largest margins Sheriff Bailey has ever won by. Scott Blau, the Republican, came in second, 8,912 votes. And Ron Scheider, former sheriff, the Independent, snagged 3,742 votes. And that is how the local elections went. A lot of the levies did do well last night. The Marka additional levy was defeated, but the Marka renewal levy passed. The Ridgedale school levy passed. The Tri-Rivers levy did pass, and passed by quite a large margin here. 911,361 votes yes, only 13,000 against. I'm guessing that is a misprint, and I believe the Tri-Rivers, I don't think that passed. I think this is a misprint in the paper. Somebody should have proofread. I'm reading this out of the paper, by the way. I'm going to have to go to the Board of Elections website. I believe on the news I have it right. The Tri-Rivers levy was defeated. Pleasant School District passed. Their levy did pass. The Elgin levy passed very tightly. 1619 to 1532. We're going to be joined starting at 1:30 by Tanner Hale, a Republican, who's going to come in and stay with us for the rest of the afternoon talking election. We're going to take your phone calls, and we did it all election season, so now it's time to do it now. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. The phone lines are open. Give us a call, because I certainly need the help today after being up until after 3 a.m. last night waiting for the presidential election to come in. And being here last night for about an hour and a half longer than anybody expected to be. But we do want to thank our supporter for our election coverage last night, San Soda's Italian Restaurant. So we thank them for supporting that election broadcast last night. Did anything surprise you locally? Did anything surprise you nationally? Give us a call, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944, as we are all very groggy today, without question. 740-383-9944. What an election season it was, to be sure. Okay, let's see here. One thing I want to talk about here, and you can call this... President Obama, I guess, is addressing the nation right now. This may be a big story as well. Speaking after Hillary Clinton. Okay, let's see what we got here. President Obama will make his first national address Wednesday since Donald Trump won the election. He is speaking right now. He was scheduled to speak at 12:15. And as soon as we have that that coverage, we will let you know what we're doing with that. Very interesting times right now. So 740-383-9944. See how tired I am today? 740-383-9944. We're going to take a quick break, try to figure out something here before Tanner Hale comes in at 12:30. But phone lines are open, 740-383-9944.
It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, right here on WWGH Radio from 12:10 to 2 p.m. Listen to the program for guests like these. The voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid and actress Pat Carroll.
And I think villains are the most fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better?
I guess.
But there is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, ugh, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors.
That?
Because you can pick all the things in life as a human being that annoy you or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean. Most people are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly. And we know that being rotten mean isn't going to get us that. But, oh, villains for actors are the best things in the world to play.
You know, Pat, that almost describes our current political situation in this country.
Doesn't it just? I'd never thought of that, but you're quite right.
Join me Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. We'll take your calls, 740-383-9944, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
And Scott Spears back with you here, 20 minutes past the hour, 740-383-9944. Maybe one of the issues right now with nobody calling in is because I believe the president is speaking, and I'm sure that is a very interesting speech going on right now. Now, this is something that I'm going to do a little editorializing on right now, because this is from the USA Today today. So many people are searching how to move to Canada that Canada's immigration site is struggling with bandwidth and actually crashed repeatedly Wednesday as election results were coming in. Hours after Donald Trump became the clear winner for U.S. presidents, America's searching for jobs in Canada spiked 10 times the rate of previous nights. That's amazing. During the presidential election season, people living in America looking for homes in Canada spiked 20%. Canada's Federal Immigration Agency saw a spike in web traffic from American IP addresses in March, right after the start of the caucus and primary season, and again in June before the Republican National Convention. Unbelievably, the USA Today is listing the steps on how to become a Canadian citizen. Now, here's what I want to say about this. Okay, this is why this is sad, and this has never happened before. I mean, people will point out that people did go to Canada to try to beat the Vietnam War draft, but it was based in a lot of things. It was based in protest of the war. It was based in fear. It was based in a lot of things, worry about people's life, feeling against the war. But there were never spikes like this. That went over a period of time. And certainly not within somebody being elected president. This is what's sad. You know, whether you like Donald Trump or dislike Donald Trump or like Hillary Clinton or dislike Hillary Clinton, the fact that right now this many Americans are frightened, because the one thing in America, the reason we could have the discussions that we had over the last year, really, on this radio station, is because we have freedom of speech, and because America is the greatest country in the world, and that's how Donald Trump could run for president, that's how Hillary Clinton could run for president, that's how Barack Obama could become president, is because we have rights that other countries don't have. We have symbols that are on license plates, the American flag, the Statue of Liberty. That's America. And the fact now that people have such disdain for this country because of what happened last night, or fear, maybe it's fear, because they didn't disdain it before the results last night. So maybe it's not disdain. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's fear of what the country will become. It's sad to me that this many people could leave America. And I understand, now again, this is an editorialize. I don't do this very often. You people like to think I sit here and give my opinion. I never told you who I was voting for. I never did anything of that nature, but this is an editorial. So I'm letting you know this is editorializing, because to me, this is very, very important today. This idea that we were criticizing these people who are thinking of going to Canada is what is wrong with this country. It's not who is president. It's why we're criticizing. Why all these people, there's a spike of people who want to go to Canada, and what's the answer this morning? What do I see on Facebook? How are people responding to that? They're saying, let all the liberals go to Canada. Let the liberal media go to Canada. Let them all go. Yeah. That's America. That sounds like America. That sounds like the greatest country on the face of the earth. Just let them all go. People who were born here, people who made their lives here, people who made their livings here, people who contribute to the economy, people who contribute to everything in this country, that's the answer. If you don't like it, leave it. That's really going to unite this country. That's really going to make things better. That's really going to send us on a path to prosperity. You know, it doesn't matter who you voted for yesterday, and it doesn't matter who won. America will go on. We've had 45 presidents, and if these people are frightened enough to leave here that they don't think that this is the greatest place in the world to live anymore, there is something very fundamentally and sad wrong with this country right now. And, you know, that's the way it goes, I guess. If you have anything to say, and that was my editorializing moment, and I'll get off the editorial now. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a call, and we will get you up on the air. Certainly would love to hear what you have to say. You're on the air. Go ahead. You're on the air. Go ahead. No, I guess that caller didn't want to talk. If that was you, give us a call back. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Hey, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I just want to say last night's election was totally awesome. You know, it's funny. We listen to the radio station of so many of your people talked about how the Republican Party is dysfunction and how they're going to survive and you know, on and on and on about the great Democrat Party. And know that most of them all fell, including that Stretch Strickland that always likes to come on your party, show, you know. I think we finally have heard the last of him, at least. So,
well, now,
I just think it was a great, 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 great election.
Well, that's good. Now, here's what I want to know. First of all, Ted Strickland, in the history of this program, has only been on once. So maybe I don't know.
Has he been on the phone
no,
a couple times?
No, he's been on one time.
Once? Only once?
Only one time.
Okay.
He must have made an impression on you in that one visit.
More than once, because I remember you kept on heckling him if he was going to be vice president. I remember just laughing in the car. It's like,
no, that's Sherrod Brown.
Oh, is that Sherrod Brown? Yeah, I thought that was Strickland.
No, no. Sherrod Brown's been on many times. Sherrod Brown is still in office. Strickland was the former governor.
Former governor. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, no. Strickland was only on once. So the guy you didn't like is still in office.
No, it's definitely Strickland who I didn't like.
Right, but the guy you were laughing about being vice president, he's still in office.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, about the election last night. Now, why is that great?
I just think, to me, if we finally got a guy in there that's going to have some common sense to him, for one. And he's got somebody that's going to have some accountability. He's going to make these people finally get up and do their job. And I think, to me, if they're not doing their job, he's the type of guy that's going to point that out and realize that he understands, one, about the debt, that we just can't keep on just getting higher in debt and debt and debt and debt and realize that that's going to be okay. We got to do something. You know, everyone kept saying, well, he's so stupid. He wants to do this. So I said, well, hey, it's a better game plan than you guys is, because you guys is just keeps failing.
Okay, well,
and all we keep getting is higher debt, higher debt, higher debt, higher debt, and, you know,
eventually
it's going to be in trouble.
Well, today's Donald Trump's day, but you're making a lot of allusions here, because now's the question.
Ain't illusions.
No, it's an illusion because it's an illusion because he hasn't spent one day in office yet.
No, you're right about that. That part is there, but at least he understands that he gets that, okay, we've got to do something about this. Now, whether something gets done about it or not, but at least he's willing to say, we have got to tackle this, and we can't just keep on just being free-willy with our money. Now, whether he has the strength to be able to do that, you're right. That might be illusional.
Okay, but here's the problem, though. It is definitely Donald Trump's day. He has won the presidency. He's the president-elect, and good for him. And as I said at the top of the show, congratulations to him. But there is a problem in the country right now, because last night, the immigration website to Canada was broke down, that so many people now want to leave this country. That
I'm like the rest of you guys. If someone runs their mouth and says, "Why God, he gets elected," I'm just leaving. Well, there's the door.
That's okay, but you know what? The door is going to swing back and smack you in the mouth because...
Well, it ain't going to swing back and hit us in the mouth.
It is good. I'm telling you right now, if 20% of this population leaves, that's 20% of the jobs that will be empty. That's 20% of federal taxes that will not be collected. That's 20% of homes that will be empty. That's 20% of the population that will not be buying. Yeah. And, I mean, you know what? I, as I said many times in this election, whoever won, I want them to succeed. Hillary Clinton has just given her concession speech, and she said she wants Donald Trump to succeed. Of course we all want him to succeed, but an arrogant attitude today is not going to be the way that he's going to succeed.
I agree with you on that, and hopefully he doesn't. Like I said, he wasn't the star that I always wanted in there, but, I mean, he was the one that I thought was the best fit at the end of the race, and, you know, I thought to me he's more of a conservative values than what I had and stuff like that, and she had zero conservatives to her, so... I just think, to me, it's a great election, and I was very pleased with it.
Well, we shall see how the days go when he actually becomes president in January and see what happens.
Sure,
and
sir. You have a nice day.
You too. Bye-bye. And now the test of time really is what will happen. Is he the guy? Is he the guy that will turn it all around? And if he's not, what will happen? That's the news story. It's not who's going to win the election. It's what will happen now. 740-383-9944. Tanner Hale said he'd be a few minutes late, so he'll be here momentarily. But we're taking the phone calls, as we always do. Hey, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Scott.
How you doing?
Well, pretty good, I guess. You know, I wasn't for the guy. He did actually, I'm sure you listened to his acceptance speech.
I did.
Okay. He seemed, he was saying the right things. Now, whether he means it, no one knows. But he was saying the right things. But there was one part toward the end that I wondered about. He said something to the effect that, you know, we might look back after 2 years or 3 years or 4 years or 8 years. It sounds to me like he doesn't even intend to finish out his term. My feeling, and it's just speculation at this point, is that Pence is going to be the president, and maybe not officially.
Well, you know,
I was trying to think of the fellow's name that Bush had, that the VP.
Cheney.
Yeah. I think he's going to be the Cheney of this.
Well, here's what, and I never expected this. And as I said, and I just said to the caller before, you know, I said many times, as much as we got labeled, that whoever won that election, of course the next day you give them your support. And congratulations, Donald Trump. And as Hillary Clinton said in her concession speech just moments ago, support this guy. You know, we want him to succeed.
Yeah.
And but the sad thing is right now, and I've never seen this after a presidential election, that there are this many frightened people that, and Canada released it this morning, that their server has crashed continuously since he won the election last night, that people looking for houses in Canada has went up 20%. In the last 24 hours, people looking for jobs has went up 10%. And over the course of him winning the election last night, the stock market dropped 500 points. It's starting to recover right now. But what does all that mean?
Well, we won't know. It'll be a while before it all evens out, or if it's going to even out. You know, it's all speculation at this part.
It is.
I can't imagine that many people will actually go. I remember Barbara Streisand, if Clinton doesn't win, I'm going to leave the country. Yeah, sure thing.
Well, it's going to be an interesting 3 months because Trump would not take office until January 20th. So I don't know what people will do between now and then. It's interesting because a lot of people compared this vote that all the polls would be wrong and that it would be like Brexit in England. But what happened with Brexit was, you know, facts are facts. About 2 weeks after Brexit, people were having serious buyer's remorse.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what will happen here. It's going to be interesting to find out.
Obviously, they didn't think it through in the first place, you know.
Brexit, yeah. I don't know. Like I say, Trump certainly deserves all the credit.
That did the results of this election pretty much chimes in with what I've always said, that those polls don't mean a thing.
Obviously,
they blew it here.
Did it mean anything? Because all I heard during the election was, we need to abolish the Electoral College. And Hillary Clinton did win the popular vote.
Yeah.
Does that mean anything?
No.
Doesn't mean anything to president, but does it mean anything overall in history? Because the last time that happened was with Al Gore and George W. Bush, and obviously Al Gore did not become president. But what does it say when any two candidates, when one wins the Electoral College and goes on to become president, and one wins the majority of people in this country?
Does it California must have had a heck of an impact on that, because when I quit watching at 3:30, Trump was ahead.
Yeah, I think when all the votes... Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania were very close. California being a very big state, when all the votes were finally counted, they pushed her over the popular vote top.
Yeah. And it's. I hope he does well.
Sure.
I don't have any reason to feel that good about it, but... I hope he does all right.
Absolutely. Well, hey, like I say, Tanner Hale is here now, and I hope you listen, and if something else strikes you, call back in.
Will do.
Hey, thank you.
Again, phone lines are open. Tanner Hale, Republican, has joined us here in studio. Interesting night. I'm tired today, Tanner. It's geez whiz. We didn't get up. We were going to do like local live here last night. I don't know if you caught any of that. We set to do 7:15 to 9 o'clock. And we did not get out of here till 10:30 with the voter turnout in Marion County, which has to make everybody very happy that close to 30,000 people voted yesterday. And 30,000 people, I think that's a record. You'd have to check with the Board of Elections.
Yeah, well, and when Mr. Chafin and I were on the show, I predicted there would be about 30,000, 29,000 voters coming out in Marion County. And yeah, last night was very interesting. I was up until about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning.
So you're bleary-eyed like me.
Oh, yeah. I spent the night down in Columbus, and I drove back up here this morning. I already spoke to a college class, and here I am today.
Yeah. Well, it's a very interesting night, because I want to analyze, and obviously the story right now is Trump as President Obama right now. He might be done, but at 12:15 he was supposed to give his speech on the election. Hillary Clinton gave hers this morning. Well, let's just start with that. We have plenty of time in the next hour and a half to get to the local stuff. Hillary Clinton said she encouraged her supporters in her concession speech this morning, saying that she wanted Donald Trump to succeed, and she wants her people to give him the benefit of the doubt. That's not exact quotes, but that's pretty much what she said.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, I thought Hillary Clinton's concession speech was very professional. I thought it was very courteous. And I really do want to thank her and appreciate last night. I reached out to a lot of my friends in the Democratic Party. One of my friends actually works for Hillary for America. And him and I were texting throughout the day yesterday, and everything was very cordial. We were both obviously very nervous. And it's the nature of campaign politics is, regardless of how good you feel going into election day, when there's two names on a ballot, anything can happen. It always makes you very nervous. I was honestly more nervous yesterday than I was about my own race in 2015. Not that I was more confident in the race, in a sense, but you know, the stakes were just so much higher in this race than it was for my own race in 2015. And I recognize that, and it wasn't really in the sense of you know, thinking about me. It's about America voting yesterday on issues pertaining to the Supreme Court and Obamacare and foreign policy, and the economy is much more important than when I ran for city council in 2015, and that's why I was more nervous. But nonetheless, I was very happy with the result, and panned out very similar to what I thought would end up happening. Not all the way somewhere, but nonetheless somewhere.
As I was talking to the caller about there, it's pretty official right now. Not all the votes are counted, but it looks like Hillary Clinton will win the popular vote in the country.
Maybe. We'll have to end up seeing. You know, there's a lot of states that haven't even finished their popular vote. I think a week from now, you know, everything will be very, very clear. But nonetheless, we'll see what ends up happening with that.
What did happen last night? Certainly did not have it right nationally.
Well, you absolutely have that right. And that was something that you you and I and Mr. Chafin discussed on the show a couple weeks ago, where Mr. Chafin, and I'll quote him and say, he said that we should put a fork in the election, that Hillary's got it. Trump has no shot to win the election. And while the path was a little bit different to winning last night than what I originally thought was going to end up happening, nonetheless, we saw something very similar across the country, in which the American people stepped up, and they were intrigued in this election, and they recognized the stakes. And that was something that actually Hillary Clinton brought up a lot on her campaign trail, is the stakes of this election. And I think that resonated with Trump voters. People across this country recognize that Donald Trump has offered more comprehensive, more substantive solutions to solve America's problems than Hillary Clinton has. And Donald Trump has rallied Americans in a way that we've not seen in the Republican Party since Reagan. I mean, we are anticipating when, and we're still waiting on Michigan, we're still waiting on Arizona, that it looks like Donald Trump's going to go over 300 electoral votes, which is something that nobody predicted. The New York Times projected that Hillary Clinton had a 99% chance of winning this election. Nate Silver, someone who I even respect, said that Hillary Clinton has a 71% chance to win this election. But what we were able to indicate across this country is that, you know, in the polls, I won't say that the polls don't matter. You know, the polls do kind of tell us a snapshot of what is going on today. But there is a significant contrast between the polls and the ballot box. And when people hit the ballot box, clicking Donald Trump was very easy, in particular Republican voters, something that the Donald Trump campaign has been ragged on throughout this entire time he's been running, is that Republicans aren't behind him. Republicans just don't like him. But not only did Donald Trump rally Republicans, but Donald Trump rallied Democrats. I mean, you can't win Wisconsin, you can't win Pennsylvania, you can't win Michigan unless you rally coalitions within the Democratic Party in those states, and that's what Donald Trump did.
So that being said, but the reason people were saying that Republicans are the Republican voters are not following Donald Trump is because a gentleman like our governor, Kasich, did not vote for him. Criticized him openly in public, said he wrote in John, we found out who he did vote for, yep. Wrote in John McCain, and had a planned speech Thursday in Washington at 2 p.m. to coalesce the Republican Party after what he thought was going to be a loss last night.
Yeah, and John Kasich's chief strategist predicted that there was going to be a national GOP wipeout, and John Kasich was going across the country and helping in Senate and congressional races to prevent Donald Trump from decimating the down ballot, which we saw was totally false. In fact, we now, the Republican Party, we have the presidency, the vice presidency, we have the Senate, the House, and now Donald Trump is in a position to make Supreme Court justice appointments when he becomes president of the United States that must be confirmed. And another thing to look at, and I don't know if a lot of people in this country have really looked towards 2018 yet, but 2018, the Democrats have a lot of Senate seats to defend in states like North Dakota and like Montana, you know, states that are very, very Republican, and you have to have a reason to believe that Republicans are going to pick up seats in 2018. I mean, we could have the same dilemma that Barack Obama had when in his first term, where you have a 60-seat threshold, where Republicans are going to be able to not have to deal with the filibusters and deal with the craziness that's coming from what we anticipate to be Charles Schumer, Chuck Schumer being the new Senate Minority Leader. And we're going to see how, Republicans, we have criticized the president. We have criticized Democratic leadership. But now we are the leadership, and we have to prove to the American people that what we've been saying all along has basis behind it, that it's based on facts, and that we can come into the Oval Office and to the Capitol building, and we can affect great policies and promote great legislation to make this country great again.
And if you don't?
If we don't,
be the destruction of the Republican Party.
It very well could be. And only time will tell what's going to end up happening with that. like I said, 2018, as far as, you know, campaign politics go, 2018 is already looking very favorable to Republicans. But then again, you never know what the landscape is going to be like in 2 years. Who knows? I mean, it almost seems like once we elect a president for a certain party, the other party gains a lot of steam. There's a large change vote in this country, and that's something we talked about in Marion County, and I know we're going to get to the local races shortly, but we saw that Republicans did very, very well in Marion County, as we anticipated.
Well, I figured that one out because we did a lot of analyzation into that last night. We'll save that for next hour. We'll do the whole next hour on local elections. We're going to spend the last 14 on the presidential election here. Something that is saddening to me this morning, and I total editorial when we started the show is, and as I said, and I've said many times, whoever won last night, we do have to support. The president, Obama, has now said that. Hillary Clinton has now said that. Of course, you want the person to succeed. The problem is that the popular vote's going to be close. And right now, it does look as if Hillary Clinton has won that. She could lose it when all they come in, but it does look like she's won it. One of the problems is here, and what I saw this morning that, I mean, when I wake up after a presidential election, all the ones I've been around, you know, it's fun leading up to it. You elect somebody, then we see what happens. You know, let's see how they do.
Yeah.
Okay. What was very disheartening this morning was, had nothing to do with the other side, had nothing to do with Hillary Clinton or President Obama, had to do with the stock market dipping last night 500 points when just word that he was elected had happened, that Vladimir Putin congratulated him on the election last night. Now, he can't stop that, but it happened. That the immigration website to Canada crashed and is continuing to crash, that people looking for housing in Canada has went up 20% from the United States today, and looking for jobs has went up 10% today. And the answer to that for people from the Republican Party or the Trump supporters, whoever they may be, is let the liberals go. See how well they do in Canada. Okay. I don't think that's a good answer.
I don't think it is either, Scott. And I think that it's very important for, you know, in my party, and you can check my social media, you can check my conversations with other people, and, you know, this is a time I'm very happy. And you saw this firsthand, being on this show and being you know, having a Democrat on, and I love Mr. Chafin to death. He's a good friend of mine, and he's good people. But, you know, being ridiculed that the Republicans have just lost their way, the party's going to be dismantled, and that after the election, we're going to have to figure out what to do after we have lost the presidency, lost the Senate, and now the House is in jeopardy. And we wake up this morning, November 9th, and now the Republicans not only kept the House, but the Democrats barely moved the Senate, and we have won the presidency. And I said on this show, and we talked in comparison to the U.S. Senate race and the presidential, that Mr. Chafin said that Ted Strickland can win, even though the polls never showed it. But I said that Rob Portman's going to win because he's shown he can fight for Ohio jobs. And Rob Portman won by 21 points. I mean, that's incredible. And Donald Trump, I said that Donald Trump will win because of his ability to connect with the American voters and instill a sense of patriotism across this country. I was told that I was crazy to think that. And last night, Donald Trump proved that he has, once again, has just defied the odds, has done something that everybody has told me and his campaign and everyone across this country that he can't do. And that is remarkable. And going back to the aftermath of the election, and it's something that happens every cycle. And we have in 2012, states were filing to secede from the union.
Right, but
it's inevitable that people are going to be frustrated. There's going to be people. This is arguably, and you know, you don't have to comment on this, but the most divisive election we've ever had. And it seemed like everyone's going at each other's throats, and that a lot of friendships in this country were probably lost. You know, a lot of best friends, and I'm sure that people even broke up because they had a difference in political beliefs.
But you know what? And I want to just get in here on this because just to be factual, yes, that happen when elections have been lost. It's happened before, but not in these numbers. There has never been the number of people.
And while the stock market does fluctuate, we'll end up seeing what happens with the stock market. As far as Vladimir Putin, I'm not sure. You know, we'd have to listen to the tape again, but I think we talked about Putin last time I was on the show, and it doesn't matter what Donald Trump said or what he thought of Putin, he was going to be criticized for it. He could either recognize that Putin's position in the world made him a great leader, even though it is recognized that he's a horrible man. Either he thought Putin was a great leader, and that means that they have a bromance, which that's a Hillary Clinton for America quote, that Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin had a bromance, or Donald Trump can criticize Putin, and then the Democrats would echo that he can't get along with world leaders. So it doesn't matter what was going to end up happening. Donald Trump just spoke his mind, and that's what people appreciated. At the end of the day, there is two major issues that people look at when they're electing anyone for office. The two biggest, above policy, above solutions to issues, people want to see that they can trust you, and people want to see if they can relate to you. And that was something we saw in Barack Obama. People saw that he was more relatable than McCain and Romney, and that he was more trustworthy than McCain and Romney. And Donald Trump proved to voters last night that he's the more relatable and the more trustable candidate.
Well, it's interesting because I wanted to make sure I had this right. It was within hours last night of Trump's victory speech early Wednesday that Vladimir Putin congratulated the U.S. president-elect and flagged Moscow's willingness to restore ties fully with its old Cold War foe. Now, here's what I think would make a lot of people nervous about that. He didn't just congratulate him. First of all, the idea of a Russian president congratulating an American president on his election within hours of the election is staggering to think of. Because even when we were on good terms with them during the Boris Yeltsin years and Mikhail Gorbachev years, they did not really care about our elections, and they certainly weren't congratulating the winners. And the thing about this that is very strange is not only did he congratulate him, he said, now Moscow has willingness to restore its ties with its old Cold War foe. Now, as you just said in your own statement there, Vladimir Putin is an awful guy.
Yes.
Tolerating him, dealing with him is one thing. We did that during the entire Cold War. Vladimir Putin's ready to be friends now with America. A guy who is helping kill innocent people in Syria.
Correct. And
he thinks he can do that with this guy. Why is that?
Well, I mean, I think Vladimir Putin is trying to establish himself geopolitically across this world, and I think that he has an intention to try to maneuver around the United States, and I think that he... I can't attest to why Vladimir Putin, congratulated him or whatever. And I don't think it's really that significant, but I do think there's an underlying factor that I think Putin may once again, and I think this is a testament to Donald Trump, that Donald Trump is going to take this office and Putin believes that he's going to steamroll him. And I think that's the last thing that's going to end up happening.
That could be very well the thought. Caller, go ahead.
Well, I'm sorry. Forgive me, I'm not near a radio. What's the subject? What's the current subject?
The current subject is Donald Trump winning the election last night and getting congratulatory notes from Vladimir Putin.
Oh, well. He also got congratulatory notes from Netanyahu of Israel, too. I think he was first.
But I don't know that Netanyahu is helping kill people in Syria.
Well,
I mean, is he? I don't know.
I don't think he is.
As far as the subject on that is concerned, the sooner we sit there and, I mean, the worst we could do in that situation is pull out and let the Russians take care of that mess, because we started it, as far as that's concerned, because as far as Obama goes, he sat there and started ISIS and backed it.
Yeah.
The better off we'll be.
Well, but Syria is not ISIS is not the big issue in Syria.
right now. And Obama actually wanted to go into Syria, I believe it was 3 years ago.
Which Republicans significantly opposed.
And he did not go. So Obama has no hand in Syria and has been...
Well, he won't have any hand in Syria in 2 months because he's leaving.
Well, that's right. But I'm just saying, your statement was Obama started it and he's caused Syria. He was not involved in Syria at all.
We started a situation in 2011 trying to depose a government in life but was legitimate. It was still a legitimate government. They still have a seat at the United Nations. And we went in there and backed that so-called Free Syrian Army, which was made up of Al-Qaeda, you know, our enemies, the ones that bombed our towers. And Mr. McCain and his buddy Lindsey Graham was all for supporting an enemy that had been targeting us about 10 years before.
I'm going to come to. I want to hold on because we are about to come up on a break, and I hope you stick with us through the break and then call and finish this conversation next hour. But this, I think, Tanner, is where you started earlier on. You said this was a uniting of the Republican Party. Now, obviously, I'm going to guess on the line we have a Trump supporter here who just laid waste to two Republicans.
Well, let me make a note to. To the situation in Syria, and Republicans significantly opposed going into Syria, and Barack Obama wanted to go into Syria, and there was a significant interest in funding and aiding the rebels to overthrow Gaddafi and to get into Syria, and when that happened, and when we did aid the rebels to overthrow Gaddafi, ISIS flooded across the region. So you know, there was this dilemma throughout this election of. What is Obama and Hillary Clinton's stake in the spread of ISIS? Did they start ISIS? No. But did they certainly have policies that allow ISIS to spread? Absolutely. When it came to what happened in Libya, what happened in Syria, and our inability to tackle the threat when we were recognizing it, and the president and the secretary of state, Hillary Clinton, acknowledged the issue, ISIS spread and flooded the region. And now they're covering 30-35% of the region, and it's a disaster. So, and what Donald Trump is recognizing when it comes to ISIS is that Russia has a legitimate interest in eliminating ISIS as well. And just like in World War II, where we had to team up and we had to take down Hitler and get through Europe, be able to invade France and work our way into Berlin, we may have to do something similar when it comes to ISIS. Now, as far as our geopolitical relationship after that, I can't attest to what's going to end up happening, and once again, only time will tell. But I think there is a legitimate issue on Russia and the United States' end to eliminate ISIS, to be able to... stop them from spreading across the region the way they have under Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. And I think that that's going to be really interesting. But Putin probably – I would assume Putin does think that he can steamroll Donald Trump. And Donald Trump, he was elected because people believe that he's going to stand firm. He's going to stand behind America and he's going to stand up for our values. And he's not going to let anybody in the world push him over.
But what if he is the guy that everybody who did not like him thought he was? What if he is the guy Vladimir Putin, among all the things that he is not a dumb man.
No, not at all. And that's why I say he's a great leader. He's an awful man, but he's a great leader. And he has definitely shaped Russia's position in the world. And he's allowing Russia to be prosperous again. While there are many populations in Russia, they're suffering and people are being killed. And once again, I have absolutely no respect for Vladimir Putin as a man, but where Russia's standing is in the world is significantly better than it was 20, 25 years ago when the Soviet Union collapsed. And that has to, you have to at least kind of accredit that to Vladimir Putin. But we have to, it's speak softly and carry a big stick. It's also in the sense of trust but verify, where you know Russia, we have to recognize what their intentions are, and you can also kind of throw in the adage of keeping your friends closer, your enemies closer, and maybe that's what the geopolitical relationship we have to have with Russia. I'm not sure. I'm not a policy expert when it comes to the United States and Russia's geopolitical relationship and what would be beneficial. But I think that Donald Trump's going to have a steady hand and he's going to be able to deal with Vladimir Putin and not let Russia continue to spread across the Eastern Europe and Middle East.
We're going to go to break here, but we're coming back. We've got a whole another hour, 1:15 to 2 p.m. with Tanner Hale here. Very interesting, though, on that whole bit there, and we'll be taking your phone calls, is that when it comes to this, very interestingly, as you have said, it's been easy to criticize President Obama and Hillary Clinton because they have been in office. Now the shoe is on the other foot.
Absolutely.
So now we'll see what happens. We're going to take the break, come back, talk local elections and a whole lot of other things. You on the toll-free line. Stay tuned.
Yeah. The chair buckled over there. Okay. For people listening, no, something that came in that would have been
a huge...
lost me at the time. A huge show.